Hey, this is Talk with RollShare. I'm Sophie Smallwood, co-founder of RollShare.com.
Meet David Ray. He's the SVP of People at Con & Us, and previously, he was SVP of HR at Sony. There's a revolution happening in HR, the rebels versus the traditionalists. There's a yearning and a need for a novel mindset in HR. Listen to David as he shares how his diverse career experiences and startup thinking and principles has shaped his thinking on HR and how that marries itself to the shift in the workforce from company-led to individual-led.
So David, why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about your own personal story and magic?
Oh my God, I love it. I'm not sure there's much magic. I guess how I feel, and maybe this is a bad way to start, it's probably quite an unremarkable story insofar as like it was pretty normal. Going back to where I grew up, I think that sometimes has shaped my path, my views on life, my values. So I grew up in a really small town in the northwest of the UK, very picturesque area near the Lake District, beautiful, but it was this really small kind of industrial town. Had a great supporting kind of family where it was like, do your best. Like, I remember that's all I was ever told. The pressure was never there. It was just about work hard, do your best. It'll be all good. Life will be fine. We're fine. We're proud. So that's kind of how it has been ingrained in me in terms of like working hard has always been for me equated to just kind of life, doing stuff, progression. So that's kind of where it started. And that kind of ethos has taken me to some weird and fantastic places where I've learned. So I remember when we first connected, Sophie, and chatting a bit about what I'd done. Like, so I started out in a recognizable brand. I went to Procter & Gamble that was then outsourced to IBM. I went and did German payroll. I studied people, human resources, and German at university. And then that kind of started to ease into, I was like, what next? I think that's part of my journey. My magic is I've got this insatiable, like, let's keep moving, let's not stand still. So that took me back to where I grew up there was a startup organization in the nuclear industry of all places. So then I went to nuclear, was just like a kid in a sweet shop. I was a startup where everything was to be built. I was in my early 20s. I was like, this is amazing. Like, I'm doing so that kind of gradual, like, insatiability. Learning experiences fed me right through to kind of then go, what else? I feel like I need to broaden my horizons. Like, where can I go? I know, London. And then that's kind of my tunnel that I dug then. So then I came and went into industries in the defense industry. I went into insurance and was very much like honing my expertise around OD, talent, learning. And then kind of what happened was something magical, I will use your word there, that I got an opportunity to go into a creative industry. So I went into the music industry in a brand newly created role, which was all about building culture, development, the organization, innovation. And it was like the elastic band came off my head. I was like, oh my word, that was why I've done 10 years of really bizarre industries. And that's just where I've gone. And it was just, again, that quest for doing things that mattered really became important as I started that last 10 years of my working career. And I guess for me, the story is just, I feel very lucky that I was just encouraged, no pressure. I was just encouraged. And now I'm in my kind of whole ethos is, how do you pay back? Like, I've had some great times. I've had some great memories and experiences, but how do I help others in small ways doing what I do and what I've learned? And that's really kind of my story now in terms of like where I'm looking for impact and helping people align what we've all been growing up with in a very traditional way around work with what is it we really care about and can we marry the two? And I think that's where I think what you guys are doing with RollShare is super exciting for me on my journey personally, but for people at large now.
You said something here that reminds me a little bit about what Kuha Marani, who's one of our advisors at RollShare, said. He had quite a diverse career as well. He went from, I think he was in the music industry as well. There was interest in DJ and production. Then he moved to big consulting, and then he moved over to Airbnb. And he says that those diverse experiences as an HR leader today actually have made him really good and really, I think, gives him an interesting perspective when it comes to people and growth and development. I'd love to get your view on what you think are the macro trends that we should really hone in on the future of work, the ones that you feel are most exciting.
Yeah, like there's a lot in my head. Like I'm like this magpie of basically going like, oh, that's a really fascinating question for us to like really like get our teeth into right now. So I'm like, oh, is there one? I don't think so. Things that are always going through my mind right now is trends around like the fairness and equity kind of agenda debate and where we've been in the last few years. Like that's not going away. It's been with us for much longer than I think everybody realizes. It's just acute now. I think that for me is huge still. I think the kind of piece around individual wellness, well-being, high performance, I think that is again very high level, but kind of something that I'm paying attention to all the time is like, how do we solve for this now? And ultimately the part that I really have mentioned already that I'm obsessed with is purpose. I'm like, we are not robots. Like that's the beauty of us all as a species. We are not robotic. We've got feelings, we've got multi-dimensional kind of personalities, all of that. And it's like, what within all of those like words that I've just said, it's like, what is the role? What is the relationship between an individual and an organization now? Like that, I think, is the bit that if I were to sum up what I'm curious about, I'm paying attention to, I'm trying to solve for myself, is this kind of employer, employee, I even hate the words, by the way. So I'm kind of like individual group kind of relationship, how that's been disrupted. And let's, you know, I don't want to take us back the last couple of years, but it's been a catalyst for people having moments, all of us at the same time, to go, what is it I want to do? How do I fit things together? How are companies kind of ready to embrace a new conversation, a new dynamic, or just new demands? That when I sit and think, I was talking to some friends yesterday, these aren't unreasonable things to talk about. You know, people, as I said, like I remember when I joined Sony Music, and the CPO at the time who hired me, you know, her favorite thing was like, we are not just one person when we walk into work. We are many things. So how do we bring that? And that was a decade ago we were talking about that. So for me, that kind of, how are companies responding to that? How are we articulating that as individuals? Like, what is it we need? And ultimately, you know, is this where we start thinking about what good jobs are or what good work is that allows us all to like live harmoniously again and kind of get the new contract? So that's something that I'm, as I said, like obsessed with. And do I have all the answers? No. Do I have any answers? I'm not so sure either, but I feel like it's a thing we should be paying attention to.
Absolutely. And the way I think about it as well is, individuals, one of the things we all have in common with is life is finite. And companies might not live forever, but they could potentially be immortal, like living for a really long time. And so that actually creates almost this unhealthy dichotomy of priorities. When you think about the workforce today, what do you see as unrealized potential?
Well, I think it goes back to that P word I've used a couple of times already, is like purpose. I think the untapped conversation in the workplace is helping people go, what is it you really care about? Like, we've got a construct that we've all been living with, like regardless of industry, there's very similar constructs, we know similar types of roles, just nuanced, etc. But like, what is it that lights people up that isn't that job description that we've hired them against? And if we really help people understand that. And again, I have my moments where I'm like, we don't do enough of this in our education system. So therefore we start then asking these big questions too late in life, or we have been. And then it's like, oh my God, like, again, to your point, like with like the finite life is like, oh my word, like, did we miss a moment or more than a moment to explore this, to create this alignment? And, you know, I've kind of been working in various roles where it's like, on the assumption, if we help people earlier in their careers identify, think about this idea of like, where do I get fire from? What is it I really care about? And then how can that live or influence what we do in the working context in that space at that time? Oh my word, like what could happen? You know, engagement, performance, business innovation, but you know, the payback on a business corporate capitalist level could be huge, as well as individuals who feel like fulfilled or heard. And so I have obsessions. This has been one for years now. And I do think it's great. It's a conversation. It's now the practical, how do you help people do this and then align it? And that I think is on HR professionals like myself, like that's our duty to help with that. That's what I think we get employed to do,
right,
to help people and organizations do amazing stuff.
It's about existentialism, right? What are some ways that companies can enable purpose and show support around this need of existentialism, whether it's around your interest outside of work or your caring responsibilities for family or other people that you value, or even just self-care, right?
Yeah.
How can companies enable that and support that while at the same time meeting the demands of their own business?
Yeah. Like I think there's lots of different elements. As you said, there's the piece like we you know, and I think the last couple of years, especially, we've seen, you know, organizations and people functions make such huge strides in what they now kind of, you know, have put at the top of the priority list, what they invest in, et cetera. So I think the space that people have created, the support around well-being, et cetera, I think is huge. I think for me, the angle that I came from, and maybe this is missing the point, I don't know, but I was like, how can you marry individual purpose and ambition with the construct and the world that we live in, like as was, and I know we might talk about this, but as was a 5-day a week, very traditional, like I'm going to some building to do something, like how do you marry the two together? And you know, in the time that I've been, probably the last 10 years now, have been playing around with programmatic ways and experiences where it starts with the individual. Like, again, am I doing anything in terms of rocket science here? Probably not, but giving people space to work out, who am I? What do I care about? They're great conversations that people need guided through. So a lot of programs, that's where I'd start with. But then the yes and part of that is, now you've got some of that insight that you feel like, oh my word, I've got clarity. Then it's using that. What do you care about so much that you would love to experiment or play with in the world that you work? So are there things that people aren't talking about, opportunities that you now go like, I'd love to try that, and giving people the space and permission to do that and the tools, you know? So a lot of what I've done is marry work around like emotional intelligence and purpose with business innovation and shamelessly stealing things from the world of lean startup. Like, I'm not afraid to say that's where I go with this, is design thinking, put them together and go and experiment and see what potentially could come from your own ambitions. That is about individuals solving things that they care about for an organization versus the organization telling them, this is the problem we want you to solve. And what does that do? And it's great. Think people, you know, it's more sustaining, it's more enjoyable. Things can be surprising. So that's for me has been a bit of a recipe that I've been playing and tinkering with for a while now. But I think it's so, as you said, the question started here, sorry, I'm off piece, but it's like, what is the unrealized potential? I think it's that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you enable or encourage HR leaders to have that mindset of experimentation? And I assume it's somewhat tied to the company culture and the leaders that surround them, but how do you enable that? Because it seems like sometimes there's sort of an aversion, and it's not just HR. There's always an aversion, human aversion to trying new things. So how do you create that safe space and that confidence to experiment, as you said?
I smile. Part of my MO over the years has been, don't tell people what you're actually up to. Like, use Trojan horses, make people feel like, yeah, I wanted a talent program. Oh, I'm getting that. And you're like, no, there's a lot baked into that program that you don't realize. But so there's part of like, build it, don't tell them too much, and then let the results, the experiences, the energy speak for itself. So that's been one of my tactics. The other part, I think, and that's why, you know, I'm such, you know, again, hugely kind of into the world of lean startup design thinking, is because by the sheer nature of what that's all about, it's about baby steps, low risk experimentation, where what is the worst that can happen? We learn something. You've not invested, you've not had to go and talk about $1 million investments. Like, we're teaching people you can do stuff really small and make progression. So the actual risk here, or the worst that can happen, is tiny. So a lot of that has also helped people unlock in an organization that I've been in. Just permission. That's all you need, is permission to play.
Yeah, really good point. So you and I connected initially around what we're doing and what we're building at RoleShare in the platform. But what was it about this concept of, you know, coming together, bridging skills and experiences to JobShare and what we're doing at RoleShare that initially piqued your interest?
I think, well, there's a couple of things. There's partly what I, you know, what we've just been mentioning and talking about is, you know, the whole awakening that we are more than just like one full-time equivalent, 9 to 5 in a building doing something. People have gone through an experience around the world all at the same time that for many has made them question lots of things about how we've all been living our lives. And how then do we now go back and repackage like the traditional work with all these other things that are now circulating in our lives, in our families, in our hearts, whatever. So I think for me, that was one of the biggest things that really got me curious about, you know, what you and the team are doing at RoleShare is like, is this actually a way to help resolve some of these questions and tension that I think are really what we're living with right now? And then for me personally, it's like, I'm talking about everybody else. I've done the same. Like, I'm now sitting here going, I've had an amazing 20 years of doing various things in various industries, hopefully making a little bit of an impact. But now I'm like, ooh, I'm curious about other things that aren't just about HR work and corporates. You know, how do I fit like my interests around fitness now? And how does that fit? And how can I develop something that I feel could benefit what I've been doing, but is also adjacent? So there's a very personal reason for me is like, can I, through a concept like this, have this like fuller rounder kind of experience going forward? So for me, I think what your mission, your purpose is really tapping into a moment.
Really interesting that you say this. I was at a conference yesterday and met a few individuals who were at a point in their lives where they had achieved quite a bit in their careers. They wanted to carry on that path because it had meaning for them. But they wanted the other aspect of their life and their career to be more agile, to pursue other projects that they were equally passionate about. And as a whole, it's exactly what you said. It was to be just better, like fully rounded, to be able to, in essence, achieve what they felt was their full potential. That seems to be a growing trend. There's something around the generational mindset here as well. Is it like a Gen Z mindset potentially? Yeah. Millennials might be flowing into that as well. Now, when it comes to people coming together to share skills, and to share a job, what possibilities do you see as an HR leader that could help to create in an organization?
So for me, there's one big conundrum that organizations like always struggle with, and that is they want everything. They've got finite resources, they've got finite investment, but they want everything. And so for me, one of the really interesting parts as well as the personal stuff we just mentioned, is this could really help organizations that sometimes they're quite like schizophrenic, as in like, we want somebody strategic. We need somebody to build the vision, etc. Oh, but on 3 days a week, we need somebody who's operational to build like systems and kind of, you know, practices and processes. And they've tried to put it all in this one idea of role because, oh my God, we can't have. And for me, it's like, they're two different personalities. They're two different sets of experiences. There's two different sets of motivations and ambitions. However, what if you could get this as a concept where it's like two elements of what you need in one role share, complementing each other, that drives something that I'm like, there's something in this that you can start to satisfy a lot of what a business has probably struggled with. And also, to be fair, let's not ignore what we read in the news today in the last months as well about headwinds and everything else that the world's facing economically, financially. This feels like a smart thing to be looking at how we grow, experiment, build mindset, that what you can get from somebody 3 days a week each side could be phenomenal. And that idea of doing that plus an individual who's like, and I've got space to explore other things in my life or just have more capacity to be with my family, like, you could be really winning. And so I'm like, you know, we've got this whole concept of that's out there, silent quitting, and it, like, is it a new thing, is it not? Like, we were debating that in a conversation yesterday. Like, all that stuff comes down to just giving people a great experience that gives them joy and that they feel like they're able to fit all their worlds together in one. You know, if you Google and you look at the definitions of silent quitting, and, you know, ultimately it's like, I think it's going into people are just being very clear about their boundaries, what they do, etc. And then you go, and then I'm going, is there anything wrong with that? Like, have we lived in a time over these last years where we all lost perspective about what, yeah, boundaries were there and should be there? So is it necessarily bad? I'm on the fence right now.
That's really interesting. That's interesting, David, because I need to Google the definition. Maybe I'm thinking about something else. There's sort of this, there's being aligned to your strengths and really doing the work that energizes you. And because it energizes you, the company gets the most out of you. I think that's great. And I think that should be something that becomes the norm, with opportunities to learn new skills as well and to grow. And then there's this aspect of doing the bare minimum and you kind of checked out. That's a different thing, is it not, in your view?
Yeah. And it was funny. We were also talking about this whole idea of like, discretionary effort. And, you know, some organizational examples were, you know, well, of course we want them to do that after their day job, don't we? And then it's like, is that the right mindset to have? And so I think it's, you know, and I was like, oh God, have we just got away for so long because we've not had this moment of the last couple of years where people have been doing workforce planning on the assumption that people will constantly do twice as much for an organization, and that's classed as highly engaged and you know, discretionary efforts baked into our financial and workforce planning, as I said. So I'm like, actually, are we just like balancing and right sizing? And is the term silent quitting just, it's the wrong term for what people are actually trying to describe? And so that, I think, is just, again, it's like trying to be a bit more provocative, going, we keep labeling things, but actually, you know, are we doing the wrong thing and creating some swirl when we shouldn't?
Really, really interesting, David. So a question that we might get from people who are curious or who don't quite click yet is, okay, fine. So why not just hire two part-timers? Why do you need a role share or a job share?
I think for me, my instinct is it's trying to change. I think the concept, just the fact about the word share, I think is so important, because one of the biggest things, again, you know, everybody's got their own experiences, but where I've been, regardless of industry, has been you're always trying to get over silos. Kind of, it's my space, this is what I'm doing. And then all the political kind of energy that needs to be going into kind of like, okay, this is my little piece of the pie. How does that fit? Whatever. Whereas I think there's something symbolic. I think there's something quite big about talking about sharing a role, where it's like, it is implicit, explicit, actually not implicit, it's explicit that this is one thing, this is all fitting together, versus if you had two part-time roles, you're segmenting something that maybe creates, you know, more confusion, more tension than we need to. So for me, that's where I reacted to this when I saw it again. And then also, you know, do you go into practical elements of like, just makes sense for business continuity? You know, it's like that whole idea of like a really strong relationship of two individuals sharing something that passes over, that you've got no egos in this. Like it's like there's something that's set up a kind of from the get-go that feels incredibly positive.
Right. And I think another point to go off of what you said is this concept of peer-to-peer learning, even if two people aren't necessarily working together on the same days, they are still strategizing together for an objective, right? And I read a Harvard Business Review article a while back where they give examples of peer-to-peer learning as being one of the most effective ways for people to learn, because you go through the entire learning loop. And that's another uniqueness around the sharing, because you're measured together. So there's more motivation to grow and learn together and to share. So another question we get oftentimes is around the pair itself. So you have people working together, they're sharing a role for maybe a year, 2 years, sometimes 15 years, and one person leaves. What do you do then?
People
get stuck on that.
Yeah, I think I do, you know, and it's something again that I've probably, this is where I'm like, oh, this is a tricky one, because I think so much of how this will like sing is the relationship and the chemistry between the two individuals. And so I think, you know, in that eventuality, all the instincts in my body go, you know, what will happen is like, it will be have to be a really important conversation with the person that remains and the organization or what a hierarchy of what made that a success, because we're assuming that that has been a success today, and identify the key traits of what that person brought behaviorally, personality wise, experience wise, and really look at going, is that, are we replicating this? Have we moved on? Have we matured? Is there some, is it a different profile? So I think it's not a disaster, but I think this would really make you have to really spend time kind of reflecting and being quite, you know, introspective around what is it that made that a success, to then kind of identify how that would evolve rather than just like plug a person in with the same CV.
Yeah, so absolutely. And with role sharing, we understand, as you said, there's a chemistry piece for sure. And there's certain sub criteria that I think are really important around motivation, right? And the way we would answer that obviously would be, well, certainly one of the benefits in the case where someone leaves in a job share, because it's the same thing if anyone leaves in another individual role, like, are you going to find an exact replica of that person to replace them? No, you might get some skills that were better, and yeah, you might miss some of the skills that that person had. But the beauty in a sharing scenario is if one person leaves, you still have another person there to at least create some continuity so that there isn't a complete loss of knowledge. Some of those utility skills that were transferred over from the other person still remain. And you can leverage a platform like RoleShare now to find a match for that individual as well as the role. But then what I think is interesting is, and an opportunity is around the onboarding, because you have someone who is motivated to onboard this newcomer to share the role. So again, that peer-to-peer learning loop, onboarding faster, sharing, and not holding your cards to yourself because you're like, who's this new person? No, I'll give you everything because I know that I want us to be successful together. Oftentimes when we speak to people around this concept of job sharing, they're familiar with it. They might've seen it done on an ad hoc basis. But when you think about it sort of programmatically, they start to say, ooh, hold on. is this something that like a lot of people in my organization are going to want to do? That scares me. How are managers going to handle this? Isn't it going to be more work for a manager to have to manage a job share? What would you say to that?
My instinct is like, get them to define what more work is, because actually when you do great management, it actually is really good and really easy in terms of like, you know, it's like, is it, oh my God, I've got to have more one-to-ones. And it's like, yeah, but spending time with people to give them direction, to give them feedback, lets them fly. It actually kind of is not that big of an ask. So my instinct is go like, is this genuinely more work? Probably what it will encourage managers to be is more thoughtful, more planful, be more kind of clear as well in terms of like direction. And I'm like, are they actually bad things, or is this just going to provoke kind of good behaviors from a management leadership perspective as well versus, oh, you know, so I don't feel like, again, instinctively that this is like a onerous task for somebody. It will probably, as I said, like encourage and help managers, leaders develop really good kind of behaviors.
The way that I sometimes envision it is you have this triangle, and between the two job sharers, right, there's a hard line, because in essence, they're holding each other accountable. They're working together. They share this objective. They're going to self-solve. They're going to work to try and make this as effective for themselves and for the team, right? Without creating an extra burden. We oftentimes hear this when people are sharing a role, they don't really want to prove that this is like such a good thing. And so there's this almost hard line between the two of them. And in effect, what then happens is the other lines that go to the tip of the triangle are almost like dotted lines. So on a day-to-day, for things that maybe an individual contributor might go to a manager for, unless it's like specific approval, it might be that the pair self-solves, right? And then they really escalate for things that are truly necessary or for those approvals that only a manager can provide.
I think 100%, I'm like, of course it makes sense. Because I think, you know, part of it, again, I think the way that, you know, the mindset of individuals that want to engage in this kind of approach to work, I think is actually about positive intent. It's about like, zero ego. And wanting to do it for reasons bigger than just maybe the organization that will then really, for me, kind of put the two individuals together to go like, we're going to make this as easy as possible for ourselves, but for everybody around us, because they want it to be a success. I think that's where this is different to, for example, sometimes in organizations where they're like, let's have a co-leadership structure that is not this, but it's like, you both lead together and then you go figure it out. But you've not got things like that's the company to kind of doing that to you. So the intent is questionable, people's motivations and ambitions. Whereas I think this is from the other side. And I think with that, I think we'll encourage exactly what you've talked about, which was like two individuals making this work, making this a success.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And the future of work, I really believe, is individual led. Whereas in the past, it was very much group, we'll say company in this case, we'll say company-led, right? Similar to the retail space where for a long time, what we could buy was what was available in retail, the way that they packed, the way they did it. And then over time with the advent of e-commerce and the internet e-commerce, then it shifted to consumer-led, right? And we know that things happen faster in that world, in the consumer world. And now I think we're seeing that shift, obviously, in HR, and COVID just really accelerated it.
Yeah, totally. I think what ultimately for me, the big piece is always like, people want choice now, is how I feel. What they do, how they do it, where they do it, why they do it. And so I think, you know, for me, again, like speaking about why this piques my interest, I think this is about giving people even just pause for thought to be like, ooh, does this give me choice?
I love it.